Alan.
Grez.
Here. And welcome to Rise of the Robots. Just before the start of the episode, just a quick reminder that if you want to hear our dulcet tones elsewhere, well, good luck finding it with Grez, because he's not on a podcast at the moment. He's mine! All mine!
Yep, I've actually just had the gag taken out of my mouth and the handcuffs taken off just so I can record this.
And meanwhile, if you want to hear me elsewhere, you can listen to the DCAU podcast, where Rebecca and I discuss DC animated movies.
And on the occasion, you can find me there. If you miss me.
I'm Alan.
And I'm the Grizz.
And you're listening to Rise of the Robots. This week we are covering week 11 of BattleBots Season 5.0.
Is it week 11? Or episode 11?
Week 11. It was one. These episodes were once a week.
So it was like two episodes a week.
No, that's what I mean. Instead of previously when they had, like, it was an hour show, but it was done as two episodes, this was actually
right.
Half an hour a week, every week for 20 weeks.
Oof, Jesus.
Yep.
Yep, well, you know, buckle up, guys, because if that's how we're starting this show, you know you're in for a humdinger.
And you cut to this situation where, because at the moment, BattleBots World Championship 4 is airing in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so hilarious. You go from this, which is like half an hour and not really much focus on the actual sport, to, oh no, BattleBots is so big, we've had to split the episodes in two for the international versions, because no one will give us a two-hour slot on UK TV.
Wow. That would be kind of interesting. I assume that it's probably just the full content, but just displayed as two one-hour blocks.
It's just the episode split in two. And they change it so that, like, the semi, like, the midway main event is a main event now.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Might try and catch an episode just to see, like, what it looks like. Because obviously, I'll be running off the American version that I've had stowed away for a while.
I mean, the other advantage of the international version is I think it includes the YouTube match.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Granted, I think I have all them, but still.
So we start off.
I didn't put all this work into getting all this shit for my contributions to this podcast and not be acknowledged. Acknowledge me.
You are acknowledged.
Thank you. I'm done now. We can start.
So, speaking of starting, we will start with T-Rex versus SOB. This is in the round of 16, because we are starting to get towards it. We're actually, it's interesting now, the second half, there does seem to be a little bit more of a, oh yeah, that's right, we actually have a tournament going on and we should actually focus on it as if it's a tournament.
Yeah, it's not just random matches as much as we perceive it to be.
So SOB,
yep. Like the robot that literally came out of nowhere and has just started dominating throughout this tournament.
I mean, it's almost like it's a design that's going to win BattleBots one day.
The old tray bot.
Yep, the old wedge at the front with an overhead saw. Who on earth would make that design go?
Who would make that design, Jameson?
Yep. So
nailed it. 10 out of 10.
Meanwhile,
comedy gold at its finest. Sorry, I'm really off on one today. I'll try and get back on. Right.
So
you were saying
their opponent, T-Rex, is a robot we've seen before. I believe this team also contested Robotica, though. Don't quote me on that. So this robot is Hammerbot. We've seen this design. Is that a weird one where the hammer is at a wedge, so it can kind of technically be used as a flipper as well?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Instead of being just an axe, it's like a bludgeoning weapon that can also scoop and kind of tip.
I also note on here, you're starting to see Mark Beer has done many, many, many introductions over the 5 seasons of Comedy Central BattleBot, and he's starting to run out of material.
I know. Yeah, definitely with these ones, he is not enjoying himself anymore.
Nope.
It just is clearly like, he just kind of says things and then just goes, anyway, just here's the robot.
Da 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 da. It's T-Rex.
I woke up this morning, poured myself a glass of milk. I took 3 sips of it before I realized that the milk was 2 days expired. It's T-Rex! Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
So, the start of this match is a little bit awkward. SOB is very much one of these. It's clear that this is the prototype of a design and a robot that maybe isn't quite as in control as you would want for this sort of design as well.
Yeah.
On the plus side, T-Rex gets no speed up at any point to do any actual damage. Because it's someone else is driving the robot for some reason.
Yeah, that's right. They did say that they were switching drivers. And that's also the thing.
Long.
No, I imagine. And also, like, you know, this late into a tournament, is now the time you're going to switch drivers? Yeah, no. Let's maybe not do that.
Yeah.
Also, like, the way that, as we kind of mentioned with the T-Rex hammer, when SOB gets in under it, like, the hammer kind of gets stuck on, like, the back end of SOB, so it kind of, like, almost unintentionally locks itself in place for the SOB scoops.
So
there's a nice little pirouette that the two of them do at one point where they're kind of connected by weapons and they're both just la-la-la-la-la spinning around.
Then there is this really, really strange moment where out of nowhere, you just turn around and suddenly T-Rex has been driven a lot more aggressively and you're like, oh, that's strange. And then you notice the controllers are not in the same hands they started.
Funny that.
And you can see the other guy is kind of sitting there going, I had this match won. Why did you kick me off? I hope we lose now. And meanwhile, SOB's just starting to slow down a wee bit.
Yeah, I had that in my notes as well. And then it's starting to struggle, and then boom, it goes flying over the kill sauces. Like, if that didn't die there, then I'm quite shocked.
And it doesn't die, because what it does instead is it traps its opponent on the wall.
Yeah, like, there's, like, you can see around the edge of the spike strip that there's plastic there now.
Uh-huh.
Obviously to try and prevent this kind of situation happening, mm-hmm. but it still ended up happening anyway.
Yep.
Because it's the angle of the axe that kind of does them in here, because it's slanted, And it just props T-Rex up just enough that his wheels are off the ground. And then SLB just backs up and waits for the countdown. 3, 2, 1, boom. SLB moves to the next round, and T-Rex is kind of beaten by its own design, essentially.
T-Rex gets wrecked.
Get wrecked.
Yep.
So our next fight is the double agent versus T minus.
Oh, wait. We have to have a shitty trailer featuring the evil cheese wedge.
Yeah, I clearly skipped past this one. I watched some of them, but not all of them. This is clearly one I just went, la la la.
I would skip over it too, except that this is not the last time we see Evil Cheese Wedge.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Evil Cheese Wedge as Wedge.
Yep. Who, do you know who else is a Wedge? Double Agent.
Yeah. You can say that again.
You know who else is a Wedge? Double Agent.
Ugh, you can say that again.
It is a double wedge, because what actually happens is the back of it is a flap.
Thank you. Like, while watching this fight, it's like, they keep saying it's got two wedges. One of them is not a wedge. One of them is a flap.
It's a skirt.
Flap is not a wedge. A wedge is solid. That's a flap.
Be nice, they're Americans. No. Their opponent is the Yeetmaster General itself, T-.
Now, I think it would be better if it was actually called Yeetmaster General. That should be what our robot's going to be called. We should build a flipper, and we should call it Yeetmaster General.
I don't trust you with compressed CO2.
I don't trust myself with gas either.
Mm-hmm. So.
Nope. It wasn't a fart. That was dangerous.
So I think it's telling. Now, you won't notice this because Alan will have edited all of the previous shit out. We just spent 5 minutes talking about anything else other than this match. Because it's not a good match.
As I said in the previous take, before it got edited out, can you tell that we were talking about anything other than this match? Because despite the fact it's a T-minus match and T-minus is awesome, he is against a wedge that can drive upside down. So no matter how much T-minus throws Double Agent about, it just continues coming at it and coming at it. And
you
nothing.
See this moment where Double Agent goes, right, we need to knock these guys out. Shit.
How do we do that?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think like clearly the only option that Double Agent had in this match was keep driving onto the flipper and keep getting flipped in hopes that they run out of CO2. But then the question after that would be, then what do you do? Because never have I seen Double Agent flip anybody over with these wedges or wedge and flap.
Yep.
So after 3 boring minutes. The most exciting thing happens is a couple of kill saw shots, which is again surprising because it's T-. Like, I'm not taking anything away from T-. It was just more the matchup that he was put in. T-. Gets the judge's decision for a 31-14 decision. Don't know where Double Agent managed to pull 14 points out of his arse, but nevertheless.
Meanwhile, we get this shocking turn of events where suddenly, after 2 meh matches, suddenly, like, a main event breaks out.
Well, just before that, we actually get a cut-to segment that was actually hella interesting.
I know!
Funny that. Like, maybe if they'd done more kind of interesting stuff like this, and less jokes. Like, we wouldn't be pissed off at the fact that we only get three matches in a 20-minute show when we could have easily probably got four. But this segment, in question, is the process of how Overkill's big old blades get made.
Yes, and it's really interesting, it's really fascinating, and then we go, okay, and then the main event is Overkill, which is, it's for a team called Cool Robots. It's the robot with the enormous oversized knife blade.
Mm-hmm.
As it fights Battle Rat, which is a robot with a full body flipper, basically.
Yeah.
Like a 360 rotating flipper.
So, Bill DeWire mentions that the Battle Rat mascot will not be here for this fight. Admittedly, I kind of chuckled at this one. He goes, oh, how will the absence of the Battle Rat mascot affect the team? It's like, well, it shouldn't, because it's just a guy in a costume. He's not real. And for some reason, that kind of tickled me.
Yeah, no, I can see why.
Every now and again, they manage to pull out at least one.
Yep.
And it's better when it's like, okay, it's like a commentary, like kind of punchline to a joke. I don't mind like that aspect of Comedy Central's BattleBots. It's it's clearly the skits that fuck us off.
Oh no, absolutely. I think it's very telling that we're actually. I think we've said this before. Objectively, the better robot battles are BattleBots.
Yeah.
But the actual program is meh because they just keep doing stupid comedy skits.
Yeah. It's like, see even at its worst, when Robot Wars Extreme started, then they were trying to be super wrestling-y, and that was a bit cringy. Like, still, even that programming was, like, some of the funny stuff was funnier than most of the stuff that they tried to do in BattleBots.
Yep.
Like, Zulu stealing wires at Firestorm and all that. Hoopla. So, I feel like it's been an eternity since we've seen Battle Rat.
Probably because it is, because we've not seen it this season.
Ah. Well, that makes sense.
So, this is a very close match. Battle Rat, well, at first it's close, and then it kind of defaults. Battle Rat screws itself early on, though, because it catches a pulverizer.
Mm-hmm.
And just from there, it just net, because it bends, so not a pulverizer, a kill saw, and it bends the flipper.
Yeah, so it can't get in under Overkill anymore, really.
And thankfully, it seems to be more Battle Rat is able to kind of stay in the fight, because Overkill is almost kind of flailing a little bit.
As Overkill is prone to do, to be honest, it does certainly just go, ah, chop, 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 and just, let's see if I hit you.
And then, with a minute to go, something very interesting happens.
Mm-hmm.
So Overkill drives Battle Rat on top of the pulverizer. And there's this moment where Battle Rat just like, okay, I'll use my self-writer. Uses a self-writer. Oh no, I'm hooked on the pulverizer!
I've got more stuck somehow.
And it takes an age to... And whilst the whole time that this is happening, you've just got Overkill going, hey judges, watch this! Clang! Hey judges, watch this! Clang!
I know, it was kind of like, in, out, shake it all about.
do the hokey cokey and we impress the judges and we win 35-10. Yay!
Yay!
And it's they Carmen Electra actually says something interesting.
Yes, there's been a couple of cutaways to Carmen Electra recently where it's like, oh, it almost seems as if she's actually, you know, getting paid to be part of the team and not just be incredibly attractive.
Yeah, and it's almost like they're going, oh, wait, we actually have someone in our presenting team who has, like, charisma.
It's like, wow, we're paying you all this money to just stand here and look good. Why don't you actually, like, use some of your talents to, like, actually fill people in on stuff?
And
so she mentions, we should probably mention what she mentioned. Apparently there was a glitch of some kind in Battle Rat, because during, like, the end of the fight, just the weapon just continued spinning round and round, instead of, like, Battle Rat driving around.
Yeah.
So there was some glitch in the weapon motor that just made the weapon just go wee, wee, wee. So it was just, like, doing forward rolls constantly.
Basically, a bit like Duck would do later on.
Yeah. There's another robot that I think of when I think of that, but... Nevertheless, like, well, we can just move on. Because I can't remember the name of it, that's why.
Okay. So...
Was it Ultimo Destructo?
Probably.
Maybe. As I say, I'm not gonna sound it too loud, because it's either we move on now, or I'm going to sit here and see nothing for the next 20 minutes trying to figure it out.
Yep.
Although I'm sure some people would enjoy that.
You think?
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Alan here, just taking a quick break from the action. Grizz and I would like to thank a couple of the people that made this podcast possible. First, we would like to thank Greg Watt for the logo.
Our theme song is also by Technomax. You can find their music online at YouTube. That's just search for Technomax.
That's Technomax spelled TEKNOAXE.
Episode 12.
Yep, yeah, on to episode 12. We start with a promo for Warhead, where it is clear that the Razor team are not eating cold dinners and living in the shed. They're instead terrorizing Bournemouth with their disc robot.
Well, to be honest, maybe it got a step worse and now they live in the woods.
Actually, yeah, that would explain a lot.
But it's like, okay, if we're living in the woods, we need to take Warhead with us so that we can get to America when we need it. Maybe it's a bit like Yogi Bear. You know how, like, Yogi Bear used to, like, trick people and then he would steal their picnic baskets? Maybe that's what they did with Warhead.
And they were like, oh, wait, there's something slightly hot. I love that we are actually lengthening out a joke that was made on a show, fuck knows, a while ago.
Yeah, because that was like the beginning of season 5.
So, the reason that Warhead is getting an actual skit is because Warhead is going to be fighting the Matador, which is the heavyweight robot by the Toro / T-Minus team, who I believe later become the Bronco team. So you can tell that this is a robot team who, they have a certain theme. And, well, this match does not go well for the Matador.
No.
There's this weird moment. So the first blow, something falls out of Warhead.
Yeah, because even the commentators were confused as to where it actually came from, and it's not until you see the replay that you see Warhead kind of jump up and something just falls out of them.
And then there is this moment where it's like, oh, this is really close, this is really... Oh, this is not close. Oh, this is very not close.
Yeah, I think it was just unlucky for Matador. Like, it just kind of drove up Warhead at, like, a weird angle and then flipped itself over.
Yeah.
And then, because of that, it flipped itself over and for some reason couldn't flip itself back.
Yeah, I take it something burst in the flipper.
Yeah, well, we cut to Carmen Electra afterwards, and she tells us that the flipper got jammed. So that's why there was no self-writing.
Is Carmen Electra the best presenter in this show?
Yes.
She's certainly better than Bill Dwyer, who is driving the evil cheese wedge in a match against Snowflake. And this is going to be an intense, hard-fought battle that we're going to see an explicit... Oh, they've cut to commercial. And when they wake up again, coming back from the commercial, Evil Cheese Wedge wins in a thrilling contest.
Yep, they even do the thing of fast-forwarding the action as they do for like every replay, and even you can tell in fast forward this match was boring as fuck because Bill Dwyer does not know how to drive a robot.
Again,
it is all a skit, and we'll get to why it's a skit in a few minutes.
On the plus side, Mark Biro finally wakes up.
Yeah, and he does it even better one, like, later on.
Yeah.
So then, I didn't really take any notes for this segment, but I'll bring it up. Like, we get, like, some contest winner that I think, from what I could tell from what they were saying, they got a robot built by Donald Hudson.
Well, what I think happened is that Donald Hudson had a spare bottom of Tazbot. And he just, he stuck a flipper on it and said, there you go.
Thanks. Yeah, because the commentators made a comment, something like it didn't do very well, so I think it was meant to be in the BattleBots tournament and then promptly lost. But even then, like, I don't know, why would you not want to, like, at least show the one match it had to, like, kind of give the person that won this contest, you know, a little bit of screen time other than just, like, this 10 seconds where it's driving about half a Tazbot.
Grace, you're applying logic again.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. On the plus side, Donald Hudson shows us what he can do with one of his robots.
Yes. As
Dissector takes on Dreadnought, which is a cool robot with an enormous disc. No, not that Dreadnought. This one's not made of fiberglass. Though it's equally as reliable.
So we start off big, though. Dreadnought comes in and just rips half of this special plow off of Dissector.
Yeah, because Dissector, what they've done is they've taken off the hammers to put a plow on. And then after, like, two blows, you see Donald Hudson go, yeah, that's not worked, we'll just use the jaw instead. Also, I get the impression Donald Hudson looked at this version of the robot and went, this looks somewhat more iconic. This looks like it could be a design that I keep for 20 years.
Now, what if instead, if the wheels weren't straight, but they were slanted?
And what if I painted it purple and green? But meanwhile, after a while, after they actually start using the front of the robot, it's a proper masterclass. Dissector just out-drives, out-maneuvers, out-speeds, out-powers, out-smarts. It manages to get its jaw wrapped around the weapon. It doesn't let Dreadnought spin up. It is. It's very much Donald Hudson in his pomp.
Yeah, it was the way that, like, there was one point where Dissector, like, lifted up Dreadnought and got, like, the top prong of its forks, like, right in between the body and the weapon of Dreadnought, which obviously stopped it spinning, and then, like, it just kind of held it there for a bit. But then, like, it's almost like you almost realize it in real time that it's like, hold on a minute, this top prong and then the two bottom ones just fit perfectly in between those two discs. So anytime Dreadnought tried to spin up, Dissector's just like, just going to stick this in here. Nope. And then it's like, it pulls away, and then Dreadnought's like, I'm going to spin again. It's like, no, I'm just going to stick this back in here. Stop it. And then close to the end of the fight, a nice wee num-num of the wheel. Rera probably was licking the screen watching that one.
Yep, very, very, very jealous.
But I like wheels. So we do go to a judge's decision, but other than that kind of first initial assault from Dreadnought, it did not have a chance in this match.
Yep.
Promising start.
Speaking of not standing a chance, Gary Coleman with a robot that doesn't even get named.
Yeah. So it's 31-19 Sector before we move on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just get, it's going to be the evil cheese wedge against Gary Coleman.
And
at least they're getting their use of Gary Coleman this season.
Yeah, Gary Coleman is definitely appearing a lot. I mean, he's not Jay Leno, but he's not the biggest star they've got.
Yeah. He's not shoehorned in either.
Yeah.
Like he just kind of like, hey, look, here's Gary Coleman, and then Gary Coleman's just standing next to a team while they have a fight, and then that's it. It's not like, oh my god, we're building up to this special Gary Coleman match.
And Gary Coleman's record in BattleBots is 0-1.
Mm-hmm. And then, so the same joke happens where it's like, oh, this is going to be an amazing contest. Cut to commercial. And then cut back right as the match ends. And clearly, just after the match started, Gary Coleman's robot died. So it's just 3 minutes of evil cheese wedge just kind of pottering around in a circle around Gary Coleman's robot.
Yep.
And then I think this is the one where Mark Biro goes, it really pains me to say this, but the winner is Evil Cheese Wedge.
Hooray. So, holy main event, Batman.
What are you talking about? This isn't the main event.
No, but what is Mechavor versus Mola 5150.
No, that's what I'm saying. This isn't the main event.
Oh, okay. Right, well, the main event of the tournament, then.
You silly goose.
So, Mola is back. This is the problem with Mola is every time it appears on TV, it's like, oh no, this robot's trash, because every time we see it, it loses. And look, the one time we saw it in Robot Wars, it was like, no, you're not safe to compete.
I've been competing for about 6 years at this point. Now, maybe even longer than that.
Yeah.
I know, and then you think, oh, good, look, it's almost like, see when Mahler became flatter was when it became worse.
Mm-hmm.
Like, see when it was, like, taller, but it was a bit more rinky-dink, it felt like it won more matches, but the second that the 5150 got added to Mahler, all of a sudden it just stopped being good. Probably because it starts to look a bit more like Captain Shredderator.
You take that back. We will not insult the family behind Mahler by comparing them to that. At least Mahler is still running at the end of its fights, mostly.
You got me there. I apologize, Team Mahler.
I've never seen Mahler incapable of movement. It's sometimes been upside down, but it is capable of movement.
So, this match is actually, like, morbidly entertaining, because you get, like, Mahler comes in, gets, like, one really, really good hit on Mechavor, and then the spinner dies. But any time Mechavor hits Mahler with its big, speedy saw weapon, Mahler then all of a sudden starts, like, spinning around almost at top speed again for a second, just because it's getting hit that hard by Mechavor's weapon.
Yeah.
Then you see the big plume of smoke come from Mahler, which indicates, well, there goes your weapon, Mahler. And then Mechavor's weapon also dies. So we get about a good minute and a half to maybe 2 minutes of these two just pottering about, bumping into each other. And then something really weird happens where Mechavor just kind of backs into the wall, and it almost as if it springs everything back to life again because the weapon just works again.
Yep. With 20 seconds
left.
20 seconds ago, Mechavor suddenly starts working and it lands some really quite nasty looking blows.
Yeah. And maybe it was a planned thing where it's like, well, just shut the weapon off for a couple of moments and then we'll potter about it, and then the last
you just got like a minute of two robots without their weapons bumping into each other.
True, but maybe it's a tactical thing of like trying to preserve the weapon rather than break it.
Yeah.
So that like in the last 20 seconds you can stick the weapon back on and be like, see, weapon's still working. Because like as the fight ends, it gives you a close up of Mechavor and there is smoke spewing out of that robot as well, so maybe they saw something that we didn't and that's why it was shut off.
Yep.
I mean, it's all, you know, it's all guesswork here, but there may be something behind it. So, because both robots made it to the end, judges' decision, 33-12 to Mechavor.
Yeah.
But we did get one more of those sweet shots where Mechavor actually sends the whole spinning weapon of Mahler around again.
Yep.
And I'll never get tired of that.
You spin me right round, baby, right round.
Man, we're in a really singing mood today.
Yep. So the match ends 33-12 in favour of Mechavor. Which means, apart from one skit, we can say goodbye to Mahler. That's a shame, because
I think
the Mahler team just doesn't... It's one of those teams that it's like, yeah, Mahler, they were around a lot, and then you actually look at their legacy and say, didn't do much, but they're around.
Mm-hmm. I think it's probably... Do you know what it may be? It's like, a slight Mandela effect of probably because growing up, we probably watched that World Tournament of Robot Wars so many times that we remember Mahler so vividly.
The world that, like, too dangerous.
Yeah, now that we're watching all this back and we realize, huh, Mahler's not around a lot. For one of the probably most known US robots, like, during that time, like,
it's almost it like
doesn't show up.
Are you telling me that robots that featured in the Robot Wars First World Championship that they somehow become more stuck in a memory than other more successful robots?
Yeah.
I mean,
pretty much.
I mean, why would you besmirch the great name of Weldor?
I mean, I think we've pretty much established that Weldor is stuck in our minds a hell of a lot more than it's probably a lot of people.
Yes.
We literally have an effect named after him.
Yep. However, you're right, there is a main event as Evil Cheese Wedge is going to step up several weight divisions, and it's going to take on the Toro Team's spinner robot, the Butcher. Oh dear. The robot gets separated into parts.
Yeah. The thing is, like, before we dissect this fight the way that Butcher dissects Evil Cheese Wedge, the fact that, like, this has kind of been an ongoing, not so much of a joke as much of a reference, because wasn't it, like, season 3 that Evil Cheese Wedge was built, or season 4 maybe, and then, like, last year they done the skits of Evil Cheese Wedge does San Francisco, and it's, or was that earlier in the season? I can't really remember. But, like, the fact that Evil Cheese Wedge has been about for a while, and so for it to finally get, like, in the battle box, even if it was just for lols, purely for it to get destroyed in this fight, was actually, like, it was kind of a nice way to, like, kind of end, like, this continuing thing. Because it was, like, when they built it, it was like, okay, now what? And it's like, oh, absolutely nothing. And then when he started doing the Cheese Wedge goes to San Francisco, it's like, okay, they were pointless. But now it's like, this is like the end of the story. It's like, at least there was a conclusion to it, I guess, is what I'm trying to say in a long-winded way.
Yeah. You get the impression some people knew, oh, that this is our last go. Not the presenters, though. They're still talking as if there's many seasons to come.
Yeah. I think even, I can't remember what episode it is, but there was, like, one episode where it cuts to Bill Dwyer at one point and he goes, oh, the first 6 seasons of this show that we've had. Something, something, whatever the fuck point he was making. But you can tell that there is a lot of people that are still convinced that there's going to be a next season. Like, oh yeah, yeah, we'll be back next year, we'll be back next year, and it's like, oh, no you won't.
But, hey, at least we have still 8 episodes to go, 2 of which we'll be covering next week.